come on, let's get real, just between us. Don't you have that evil lobbying at Dean too?
Human beings are not ants. Unlike our tiny friends, we don't naturally know how to live together in large groups. This is why we need rules. And besides political rules, we also have technical rules, also known as standardization. It's actually one of our democratic rights to contribute to shape these rules. In this podcast, I will not tell you what you really should know about standardization. Because Amelie Leibrand will.
So, my friends, today's episode will be the last one in this podcast series. I promised you that this podcast would be short and sweet and nothing that would drag on and on. Well, was that everything there's to say about Dean and standardization? No, not even close. I just highlighted the key points that I thought were the most important for you to know. Imagine Dean and the standards world as a giant forest, and I just shined my flashlight on some of the more fascinating sides. I hope that you noticed that there are trees and animals scurrying about. And I would be happy if I was able to show you that there's a really exciting universe waiting to be discovered. Of course, we'll also help you discover it, but that will come in a different format. Today, I would like to use this last episode to answer this question that I always get after my talks, provided there's beer or wine involved. Obviously, people can only work up the nerve to ask me this question after a drink or two. And this is what they ask me. Come on, let's get real, just between us. Don't you have that evil lobbying at Dean too? The short answer is, not really. But nobody really believes me, because they just can't actually imagine it. That's why I'd like to answer this question in a bit more detail. So here we go. First of all, you have to differentiate the two things. On one hand, you have lobbyists, and then you have evil. Lobbying is representing interests, advocacy. That is something really good. There are many interests that would never find their way anywhere, not just to us, simply because they don't have the means. Take environmental protection, for example. This functions exclusively thanks to the representation of interests. A tree has never stood at our door and said, "Hey, your standards are making my life difficult. I want to help write the next ones." Almost every single NGO serves to represent interests of some kind. There are also kind of NGOs in the world of standardization, which could perhaps be called NSOs. That's not non-governmental organizations, but non-standardizational organizations. They bring various interests into standardization that would otherwise not be involved, because they themselves have no economic interest in standardization or simply don't know about it. In addition to environmental issues, there are all kinds of consumer interests like children, seniors, workers, etc., depending on what topic a standards committee is dealing with. Then the person I'm talking to says, "Yeah, okay, that's not the type of lobbying I'm talking about, of course. That's the good type. I mean the evil type of lobbying." Yeah, sure, of course. Let's take a look at that. Before I can answer, we need to clear this up. What is evil lobbying? We usually understand this to mean something that's not transparent. We mean a process where the decision-making process and the actual decision somehow have nothing to do with each other. And then at some point, much later, it comes out that there was a meeting between X and Y with weird promises or the threat of jobs or something else, and then the vote was completely different from what had been discussed before. So it's worth taking a closer look at this. For valuable advocacy to turn into evil lobbying, there has to be a system in place that allows it to happen, right? If a decision lies in the hands of one person, there's a higher risk of this form of exertion of influence. The motivation to influence this person then increases drastically, either positively through promises or negatively through threats. Because you've all been listening to my podcast attentively, you've certainly noticed why the system of standardization is relatively well protected. Exactly for this reason, because at Dean, no one person makes a decision. It's not even worth to try and bribe a Dean employee. We don't write the content of the standards. The standards committee does. And a committee is made up of multiple people. And depending on the definition, we also have the nasty or evil interest groups represented, if you want to put it that way. The typical definition is that whoever has the big money is evil per se. In our case, it would be large industry. But they should have a seat at the table. They are important committee members. Of course, they bring the interests of the industry behind them. That's exactly what they are supposed to do. And everyone else knows this. In a pinch, they are important allies when trying to scale up an innovation and bring it broadly into the market. And every committee member sits on a committee to advocate for their particular interests. And in interaction with all the other members, this is what makes a well-rounded body. Very important to remember, in technical regulation, transparency prevails with regard to who is representing the interests of whom here. I'd like to take a little detour and talk about transparency for a moment. Transparency means that it remains clear who is speaking for whom and who is voting in the interest of whom. The voting on content builds meaningfully on the discussions on content. But this does not mean that we live stream every committee meeting on the internet so that anyone can watch and listen. This would be a lack of discretion. And that's something completely different than transparency. In order to be open, discussions need a protected space. We see the level of damage that can be done if that protected space is violated in politics. If interim developments are immediately leaked to the press during meetings, this causes a lot of damage because the members lose trust among themselves, the discussions devolve into pure demonstrations of power, and the citizens no longer know where they stand. And that is why transparency and indiscretion are two completely different things, okay? Back to standardization. A second level of protection against an unfair exertion of influence is that standards are adopted by consensus. Consensus does not mean that in the end everybody has to be cheering about the results, but they do have to be able to say, yep, I can live with that. This means that even in the committee, it's not worth bribing individual people, because in the end, the entirety of the members adopts the standard. And of course, maybe you were leaning one way in the discussions and in the end you vote in the other direction, but that doesn't mean that you have written other values into the standard. The standard is simply not published. It means you might end up with nothing yourself. So, of course, the experts in the committees are also just human beings. And whenever human beings come together, the same conditions are handled differently. I personally experienced many wonderful discussions in which a great deal of technical expertise was paired with a surprising amount of heart and soul, and where people, in the midst of intense debates, made a serious effort to understand each other and find solutions that everyone could live with. This process of searching for compromise is truly a fascinating and impressive thing. It's a content-based process that is about finding solutions that benefit everyone as much as possible. And that has nothing to do with the horse trading and haggling that we know from other contexts. This, you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours, is not exactly substantive. So, this whole thing may sound impossible, but it works astonishingly well. Our portfolio of standards, meaning the whole body of Dean standards, comprises more than 34,000 documents. This means that this process, this mutual live and let live, and adopting standards in consensus has worked over 34,000 times. That's a lot, if you think about it. Now, I said before that human beings are very different, and I already told you a story with regard to neutrality back in episode 4, where the standards committee was not overly constructive at first. Maybe you remember, it was the Robin Hood story. In this case, the topic was very specialized, and there weren't that many interested in it. As a result, not as many interested parties as possible actively participated in the standards committee, rather just a few. And they also had very similar interests. As a result, this may seem like evil lobbying, but in fact, you can hardly blame those who are doing the work of standardization for getting involved. If anything, you should be pointing fingers at the others who are not participating. That said, how are you supposed to know all of this? Most of us don't study standardization. And this is why I created this podcast, so that all of you can get to know this wonderful system and use it. So I'm truly thrilled that you've been listening all the way to the end. Pass this knowledge on. Don't let it languish with you. Spread the link to your contacts. Get involved in your sector. Become a member of DEAN so that you can use the system and support it at the same time. Or apply to work at DEAN and support us from the inside. Seize the opportunity to be actively involved in the technical rulemaking process. Yes, you can sit at the table and help write the documents yourself. You don't have to wait until some kind of standards god gets your topic on their radar. You are allowed to do more than just mark your ballot every 4 years, and in the meantime, you can still protest if you like. Your predecessors have created this platform for you, where you can bring your voice into the world of standardization. But you have to speak up. Use your voice. And on that note, I will close this last episode. I am Amelie, and I am so grateful that you have been on this journey with me. I want to thank you all. It's been a real pleasure. Take good care and stay curious.
Did you actually know that the biomass of all ants on Earth exceeds that of us humans by far? No? Well, me neither. Why don't you tell your colleagues about it over lunch? Just be sure to tell them first how much you enjoyed this podcast. Promise? Human Beings Are Not Ants is a production of DEAN, the German Institute for Standardization. Produced in 2021 and 22. Concept, text and narrator Amelie Leibrand. Translation Kimberly Schwabe. Recording and cutting Tasso Mulzer. Music, intro speaker and editing Simon Konze. And as Amelie won't have the last word in her own podcast, I'll at least end it with her words. Stay curious and see you soon.